Well, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to class. It is that time again. And as you know, yesterday we began our journey through the New Testament. And today we're happy to continue beyond the Gospel of Mark, which is how we began our journey yesterday. Hopefully that will be something that will be useful to us as we go into a sequential look at the life of Jesus now as we look at the other Gospels. And begin with the beginnings in more detail than we were able to do yesterday. Yesterday we had kind of an overview and tried to deal with all of your questions that you brought to bear. And today, those things that have already been answered, we can let go and move then into the early life of Jesus and into the Galilean ministry. So that's our focus today, the beginnings and the Galilean ministry of Jesus. I'm happy to welcome Dr. William Carr, who is visiting with us for a bit today, and he is a valuable member of the faculty, and he's obviously also associated with the registrar's office. So today, then, we move into, first of all, an examination of what we mean by the term synoptic gospels. Matthew, Mark, and Luke are the synoptic gospels. And perhaps the easiest way for me to get into that, and you will see there's a lot of dovetailing between the Gospels as we read the stories of the birth of Jesus, his early years, his public ministry. Probably the easiest way for me to show how the relationships happen is to show you one of my favorite books. I love it because it's only one page. It's all in living color, and I'm going to fold this side over a little bit because it simplifies what we're trying to do a little bit. But you'll notice that there are three columns here, and the middle column is for the Gospel of Mark. And you notice immediately and very graphically that the Gospel according to Mark is far and away the briefest of the Gospels. You already discovered that, I'm sure, by now since we spent some time with Mark yesterday. You'll also know that Mark's Gospel has one color that dominates. Almost everything is in a single color. And anybody want to name that color? Different opinions, obviously. I like to call it salmon color. You may want to call it pink or something, I don't know. But you'll see there are a few streaks of green in there. Those are the areas of Mark that are unique that Mark only has. And you can see there's very little of Mark that he has only by himself. We looked at a couple of those yesterday. Typically, everybody spends some time on chapter 14:51, where the young lad in the garden runs away, scared in the night. And, well, there's obviously very little. As we pointed out yesterday, virtually everything in Mark is either in Matthew, this column here, or in Luke, the column over here on your right. And you will notice the salmon colors in those two columns represent the materials from Mark. And you will see also that Matthew has a lot more of Mark than Luke does. About 90% of Mark is incorporated in Matthew, and much less in Luke's Gospel, but still a great deal. Okay, the blue colors indicate the materials that Matthew and Luke share. And those are primarily sayings, because Mark has almost all the miracles. As we pointed out yesterday, Mark is a gospel of action full of miracles and showing Jesus as a can-do kind of a person, whereas Luke and Matthew include a lot more sayings than Mark does, and those are the blue materials here. You can see there's quite a bit that they share. And in Matthew, you see a big cluster up here near the top. We gave you a little special project to do on the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5-7, and you'll see there's a lot of unique sayings here, but indeed some of them are also found in Luke's Gospel, and that's why you have some white, but a lot of blue, which is shared with Luke, but Luke has it scattered throughout his Gospel. Then you will notice that Matthew has some white areas. For example, the opening genealogy is different from the one in Luke, and the Magi story is unique to Matthew. None of the other Gospels has the story of the wise men, as we have it in chapter 2. As I already pointed out, some of the sayings in the Sermon on the Mount are unique, although a lot of them are shared with Luke's Gospel, as you can see from the blue. And then we get to chapter 13, and we'll spend a little bit of time on the parables of the kingdom. hopefully we'll get at that today. And the parables of the kingdom, well, some of them are elsewhere in the Gospels, but Matthew has a few that are found nowhere else. For example, he has the dragnet and the pearl of great price, and well, there are others that he shares with. The wheat and the tares, those are unique, but we can go on and on with this, but you get the point here that Matthew does have some unique things, which we'll point out in another way later on in perhaps a little bit more graphic way. Now, as you move to the Luke column over here, you see that he, too, has a color that is unique to him, and I don't think it takes a rocket scientist to figure out that's the yellow color there. And you see a lot of yellow here at the very top. And so when we get to the birth stories of Jesus, we'll be looking at that separately because only Luke has the complete stories of the birth narrative as, you know, indicating John the Baptist's birth, and also the annunciation of the angel Gabriel to the Virgin Mary. And as we go on to Luke 4, we will find that the Nazareth sermon has got some unique materials, although the other Gospels do mention his appearance in Nazareth, but Luke really builds it up big time. And particularly as we get to the narrative of the journey, Luke 9, toward the end of it, down to toward the end of chapter 19, you see a lot of unique Lucan materials. And hopefully we'll have a chance to deal with quite a few of those major parables that he includes in here. Luke has a lot of the favorite parables of all time, such as the prodigal son and the older brother, the unjust judge, and the Good Samaritan, and a few others that are uniquely found in Luke. And of course, toward the end of the Gospel, Luke only has the narrative of the Emmaus disciples and of the ascension in some amplification. So obviously from Matthew, we have an indication that Jesus is about to leave also, but Luke actually speaks about them waiting in Jerusalem, and then he ascended. So you can see the idea here that, yes, indeed, there's a lot of correlation between the synoptics, and that's why we call them that, because they have a similar look at the outline of Jesus' life, you know, the period of preparation followed by the Galilean ministry, followed by the journey to Jerusalem, and then followed by a passion narrative where they have a lot in common. So having looked at the color scheme here, hopefully this makes it a little bit more meaningful when we put some numbers on the screen in a moment, and we'll do that now. In your materials, which you picked up at the start of the course, or before the weekend actually, you had a set of appendices that were in your course management policy statement, and after the first several pages they begin, you have like Appendix A, Appendix B, and so on. So if you will pull out the Appendix B at this particular point, I'd like to comment on that just briefly. And let me just see if I have an extra copy here so that Dr. Carr can also participate in this. I don't want you to feel neglected if I have one here. You'll notice that Matthew, Mark, and Luke are set up in columns where they're compared with each other, and in my quick search here, I just don't have an extra copy. If you'd like to look on with somebody in the back row, I would encourage you to do that. But as I was starting to say, Appendix B is what we're looking at, and you'll notice that while they all follow the same outline, they do so with a varying emphasis on the material. For example, in the Matthew column, you have two pluses, which is my way of saying this is what Matthew hits the hardest, the Galilean ministry. And you have, well, if you look at the screen here, Matthew, as he covers the Galilean ministry, goes from chapter 4 down to 18, and that's about half of his gospel that's devoted to the Galilean ministry. By the same token, you will see in Luke, the third column over there, a very brief presentation of the Galilean ministry, the time that Jesus did his teaching and miracle working in the vicinity of the Sea of Galilee and the adjoining areas. So, shall we say about 5.5 chapters, a huge difference, but they both have it as part of their outline. Now, of course, you will notice that in the Luke column, we have a big double plus in the Journey to Jerusalem section, which, of course, is where Luke puts a lot of the materials than Matthew has in his Galilean ministry section, and so there is a lot of reduplication. He has 10 chapters in the Journey to Jerusalem section. Okay, so the Journey section, Matthew has 2 chapters, Mark has 1 chapter. You'll notice in the Matthew and Mark column on this appendix sheet, you've got little minus signs, which means that they're much shorter than the presentation in Luke. And so Luke spends a lot of time on the journey to Jerusalem, incorporating a lot of the materials that we have Matthew, including in the Galilean ministry. And then finally, let's take a look at the Passion narrative. Everybody has a reasonably significant section there, but once again, we find that Mark has proportionately more of his gospel, a greater percentage of his gospel devoted to the Passion narrative. 6 chapters out of 16. Matthew also has a large chunk, 8 chapters, but out of 28. Okay, so percentage-wise, not as much, but chapter-wise, more. And Luke has a little bit shorter amount, only 5 chapters worth out of his 24 chapters of the gospel. So I guess you can see from that that they don't all present the numbers of events and sayings in exactly the same amount according to the particular period of Jesus' life. And that is, as we pointed out yesterday, you notice the Mark column where you have a double minus in the period of preparation. We have all of 13 verses up there in the Mark column for the period of preparation. As we said yesterday, he seems to be in a big hurry to get Jesus going on his public ministry. And he almost zips right on past John the Baptist, but he doesn't get him included here. So that's one of the things that perhaps you have already noticed, or you can see by the numbers there how the evangelists proceed, each covering the same outline, and nevertheless with somewhat different emphases as they move along.